Welcome to Beyond the Arc.
All right, and in our inaugural season, we're starting right in the middle of July. All these teams look to be pretty set. Big one I'm going to start with. I'm going to start with my boys in Brooklyn. The Nets probably, in my opinion, winning this offseason. What do you guys feel about that?
They're one of the top two winners, yeah. I would definitely say that. A lot of the teams in the East got a little bit worse or stayed the same. And, I mean, for 1 year, you're going to be a little bit better with Kyrie and DeAndre. But 2 years from now, when KD comes back, even if he's 80% of what the KD we saw in Golden State, that's still the best team in the East.
Yeah, I agree. First of all, I'd like to say congratulations as a Nets fan. that was a huge, huge offseason. Everything that you guys actually started putting in motion over the last couple years actually panned out. I cannot say the same for my New York Knicks. Jesus. We are like a really terrible team right now.
Yeah, I mean,
we're Dolan needs to sell the team. I think that is the next offseason move that we actually have to make.
That's the only offseason move that the Knicks need to make.
I don't know what the problem was. I mean, the Knicks, in all honesty, not that the Knicks looked more promising than the Nets, but if you were looking at a team to go to, you were putting RJ Barrett along with KD and Kyrie. That would be a squad too. That's a solid squad, and you could possibly have traded the third pick for Anthony Davis, but that
oh for sure. With the way the offseason panned out, apparently our front office decided not to offer Kevin Durant a fourth year because they did not know how he was going to come back. Now, I fully understand it, like logically speaking, but at the same time, this is Kevin Durant. You know, you're looking to try to bring back some juice to the Garden. You get a chance to land Kyrie if you get Kevin Durant. I don't know how in the world you just don't pull the trigger. I think that's what's been hurting us for the most part.
You want to know what really baffled me about them? They didn't even have a sit down with Kawhi because they wanted to have a sit down with a guy who just blew out his Achilles and a man who has chronic knee problems and thinks the world is flat. They didn't even have a sit down with Kawhi because of that.
Well, I got to tell you this. I think where the Knicks, at least speaking their way, why they fell off with that and they didn't even make those attempts is because I think their front office knew. I think they were wasting their time because, I mean, I'm putting my fandom aside here. If I'm a guy like KD and I can literally handpick where I can go and I definitely want to be in the New York market, how do you look at the Knicks roster and look at their front office, look at the Nets roster and what they were able to do without a superstar last year and go, yeah, I'm going to sign with the Knicks? Like, that's asking to ruin your career. It's not asking to, like, to be put onto this pedestal that New York can put you on and make a team like the Knicks winnable again. Why would I do that when I could just go to the Nets, who are a playoff team without me, with me? Who knows in the East what we can do?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. First of all, you don't get as much hate as you would as a Knick. You know, if you're a Knick,
that
you know,
true.
You're getting hate from your fans. Brooklyn, they're not as psychotic. You know what I mean? They're not terrible people the way Knicks fans can be.
There's definitely less pressure playing for the Nets, and I feel like that did play a part in it. But at the same time, going back, like, I can't believe the only superstar in the last, let's say, 15 years to actually want to take that pressure on. Well, I'll say two. The only two have been Amari Stoudemire, and yeah, he only gave the Knicks half a season, but at the time, he was still Amari Stoudemire, and Carmelo Anthony. And you saw the way they treated him. I feel like that played a part in these guys not coming to New York, given the risk of failing and then being treated like that by our fan base. Like, I don't think that helped, you know, that didn't better our pitch towards those guys.
Absolutely. And like Alex said earlier, look at the Nets front office. Look at the team they built after the previous regime had destroyed their draft capital.
It's all about culture, and they not only found guys that fit the culture and, like, they fit what they want to do. But they're good basketball players. They got very good. They're like, you know what? We're not going to build any superstars. So what we're going to do, we're going to find those B-level players, those role players that are willing to do what they need to do for the team, and then we'll plug and play with the superstars later. And it was brilliant. It was unbelievably brilliant.
On top of that, too, I just feel like you guys landed two superstars that actually complement each other in a way that, let's say, KD and Westbrook didn't. I don't feel as if Kyrie and KD are going to, like, be competing for shots during the game.
See, I have two thoughts on that.
Shoot.
Now, I'm a Celtics fan, so mm-hmm. I obviously saw Kyrie last year. Now, I don't think Kyrie can be the best player on your team because you obviously saw him take too much onto his shoulders last year, even when he had good players around him able to do the job.
100%.
He just decided to keep taking the shots. But when you saw him next to LeBron, Kyrie was able to carry just as much as of the load as LeBron was.
And that's what it is. I think he complements. That was the problem. You put him in Boston to be the guy. It didn't. It wasn't going to work.
Exactly.
He's a Robin. Robin. But you know what? I think, and that's what's going to make it work with KD, like you were saying, Tomas, because he's used to playing with a guy like LeBron. He's used to playing with an alpha, and he can be an alpha when he's with an alpha. He can be a guy that you're going to see the Kyrie of old with the Nets, obviously injury withstanding, but with Boston, it's just a bad foot, and I think that's why Boston made the right move and switching gears and going to Kemba Walker, because I think Kemba Walker is more of a guy that fits what Boston has built.
Yeah, Kemba's got that gritty Boston attitude, you know.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy for sure. And I feel like he blends better with the younger guys. It's not so much of, I can't say Kyrie was forcing himself to be a leader, but I feel like he carried himself as if he was the one that won the championship in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Being the guy as opposed to what we really saw out there. And it's funny that Kyrie actually led that team in field goals attempted for the season.
Yeah.
He took more shots than LeBron James.
Yeah.
But that's because of LeBron James. LeBron James understood, hey, this guy, big-time shot maker, you know, he can't be stopped by anyone
individually.
I'm going to get this guy the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that, you know. And Kyrie needed to take on a similar role to that. Hey, let me get, you know, Jason Tatum involved. Hey, Gordon Hayward's coming off this injury. Let me try to get him some easy shots. Al Horford, let's get a pick and pop three. And the only player it seemed like he was really willing to work with were Tatum and Horford.
You know,
just because they got him open shots.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that was my problem with him there. But working with Kevin Durant, my only fear is that Kevin Durant is not an alpha either. Just his attitude. Now, a player, he's definitely an alpha. But their attitude there, they're both, neither one of them really want the spotlight, you know, and they get a little testy sometimes in the spotlight.
So, I think we saw KD grow a little bit with Golden State. I mean, you have the backing of that Golden State roster, which is, I mean, it's a nice little boost to have.
Yeah.
But I think he was able to get more playoff experience, and he was able to get championship game experience, where I think he's at the point now, after having that experience, where he's going to be that alpha. He's going to be that guy who's going to handle the spotlight. And I think what helps is that he's going to be in Brooklyn. It's still New York, but it's not Madison Square Garden. It's not the bright lights of Madison Square Garden. I think that's why the teams, I know LeBron's at the Lakers, but it was never Lakers-Knicks in the end. It was always Clippers-Nets. I think he just wanted that B-level team because he doesn't want all that hoopla. And I think that's the perfect. That's why I think it's going to be the perfect signing. And I think the same thing for Kyrie. Kyrie was not the guy who wanted to be in front of the camera. LeBron was when he was in Cleveland too.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's going to work out better for KD. And I think that's where you're going to see him blossom into that alpha, both on the court and off the court.
Okay,
I agree.
More offseason moves in the Eastern Conference. We have the Indiana Pacers signing, bringing in Brogdon and bringing in Jeremy Lamb. We were talking before, I don't see the Pacers as a top four team, but it's almost like another offseason acquisition when you think about it, that they're going to be getting Oladipo back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could see them being the four seed, you know, if they're going to be the top four.
Yeah, that's not a stretch.
Yeah, you know, I think they're right around Boston's skill level just because they have so much more depth. I think Boston has a much better starting lineup, but
yeah.
Boston has no depth anymore. You know, they have no big men. You know, they have Enes Kanter. What is that?
No, listen, a lot of people sleep on Enes Kanter, man. Like, if you give this guy 25 minutes a game, he's going to go out there and get you 15 points and 8 rebounds.
Oh, yeah. He's a rebound machine. He's put back dunks.
He's terrible defensively, but it's not to say that he doesn't show some effort. Like, the guy will go out there and get you 6 fouls.
Absolutely. That's a big fact. But now, the biggest problem with Boston in the East is against teams like Indiana, who have size, like obviously Philadelphia, who's added Al Horford.
Yeah, no, that plays a big part, especially in today's game where everything is about
switching
and length and size and guys that are versatile and can guard multiple positions.
Yeah,
I feel like they've set themselves up as best they can, given that Indiana isn't necessarily the how can we say, like a quote unquote, you know, the perfect destination. Like you rarely have guys go out of their way to go sign, you know, with the Pacers.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Indiana, exactly. Their biggest problem is they're not a free agent destination. You know, who wants to go play in Indiana? You know, what's there? Corn?
Come on. He said corn.
But
Says the Colts fan.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, you're right. But
we're talking basketball right now.
Sorry. We're talking basketball. You're right. Yeah. Pacers suck. Right. Got it. you mentioned Horford before. I mean, I thought the Nets won with what they got, but that's also because I think the 76ers are a top three team in the East. They add Horford. They bring back Harris. How do you feel about that?
That defense, them and now the Clippers, those two defensive squads are really locked down. Between Ben Simmons and B guarding the paint, Horford is able to go from the paint being a shot blocker, and he's able to play perimeter defense to an extent, obviously.
I mean, did you guys see that happening, the Horford move to the 76ers?
No, I really thought when the Celtics did the sign-in trade that Horford was going to re-sign because they had his bird rights. So
yeah, and honestly, when I saw he was leaving, not knowing about DeAndre Jordan, I didn't know he was going to sign for 4 and 100, so I was all about, like, oh, bring him. That would be the perfect guy for the Nets. Oh, man, and especially with his relationship with Atkinson from Atlanta.
Yeah.
But
and Kyrie and him were pretty close.
And that's exactly that. And I was putting that in my own head. I was getting a little trigger happy at that point. But 76ers was definitely not someone I saw. Because you think 76ers, you think Embiid, you think they have size. Like they signed
Tobias Harris too, or re-signed.
Right, and you're thinking they don't need any more front court. And then all of a sudden you bring him along. And as a 76er, if you're a 76er fan, you got to think, the only guy that really slowed down Embiid was Horford.
Yeah, exactly.
And now this dude's playing next to him. Like,
and he slowed down Giannis, too. I mean, you put Giannis, you put Horford and Embiid together in the paint. Is Giannis really going to be getting in there?
That team defensively is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, they can switch anybody.
It's going to be fun to see. You're talking about, you know, you got Simmons. You got Embiid, you got Horford, you got Tobias Harris. Like, you can literally put anyone else in there, and that team still be, like, a top two
Absolutely.
Team in the East.
And Richardson is underrated as a shooting guard.
Oh, you know, of course.
He didn't get a lot of publicity in Miami. But I think their biggest loss, in all honesty, it's not Jimmy Butler. I think it's J.J. Redick.
Yeah, you know, and that's where the role Richardson's going to have to take. Yeah, and I think that was part of bringing in Horford, too, because Horford can pull up for three. Yeah. So it also, by having that catch and shoot from Horford, you're also allowing Embiid to just stay low.
Yeah.
Let Embiid just dominate down low.
And let him hit the threes when he's actually wide open, because he forced a lot of threes in the playoffs last year.
It's going to be interesting if they take a look at Korver, given that, if I'm not mistaken, he's either going to get bought out or traded.
Right.
By Utah, right?
Yeah.
Did it already happen? He got traded, right? And now it's about they're going to buy him out all that. Utah's, or flip him.
Yeah,
they have to at this point. Yeah. Like, Korver, you know, at this stage in his career, he's literally just looking for a championship team.
He just needs to play 15 minutes and hit three threes a game. That's his role.
Yeah. I agree. That team is going to be interesting, man. The East this year, I feel like, as top-heavy as it is, they still have a couple of legitimate contenders
Absolutely.
For the title.
Absolutely.
I'm still interested in seeing if Washington's going to trade Bradley Beal.
They have to.
Yeah, I think they have to. I think they got to get rid of John Wall, too. But.
Well, Wall's not going to be able to. Nobody's going to want Wall. No. He might even miss all next year. Yeah. So, I mean, this guy's, and he's had his issues while he was healthy on the court. People, the players weren't liking,
nobody liked him.
Want to play with him. It's like, what are we?
Why is he here?
So, that team's got to blow it up.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. I think the East is, it's got a little top heavy this year, but you got more competition now. You got Vucevic stays with the Magic, and the Magic were a playoff team last year,
yeah,
so they're going to get better. You know, we didn't even touch on the Bucks yet. They lost Brogdon, sure, but they replaced that with Wesley Matthews.
Who else did they lose? Was it Mirotić or no?
Yeah, they lost Mirotić to Barcelona.
Yeah.
But they replaced, he's not a scorer, but they replaced him. They brought back Brook Lopez, and then they signed his brother Robin. So
Brook Lopez was a great player for them last year.
He surprised me in the playoffs with just his ability to shoot and his ability to just adjust to the game. We're talking about a guy who, when he was with your Nets, he was averaging 20 points a game.
Yeah.
And that was before he started shooting the three.
Yeah. So he can get you buckets down low, and also now has added that 3-point shot, which makes him deadly.
He's a great shot blocker.
Yeah. He's only 31.
Is he really only that?
He's only 31 years old.
I thought he was a lot older than that.
When I saw that deal for 4 years, I'm like, it's not a bad deal just because of how well he played. But then I went in and just looked to see how old he was. He's literally only 31 years old. Dude feels like he's been in the league for 15 years.
Yeah, I know. How old is his brother? Are they twins?
Yeah, they're twins. One just has bigger hair.
Yeah. I was going to ask that question as a joke. So how old is Robin? But
he took it from me.
My bad, y'all.
You're good.
I don't even know whose brother is anymore.
But overall, I think the East is going to be really a lot more competitive. I think you're going to see more teams in the end who are going to be pushing for that 8th seed, and you're going to see about 10 or 11 teams, kind of like the West, where you have like the 10th and 11th seeds are 500 teams. I think you're going to start to see that now at the East. You see, we just talked on we talked about the Bucks before, but you talk on Magic we brought up, and then the Pistons got better by adding Rose, and now they're possibly, we'll talk about this later, but they possibly in the sweepstakes for Westbrook, and then you got a team like Miami who adds Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So
those are teams also in the sweepstakes for Westbrook.
Yeah,
and that's exactly. So that's three teams that that were at the bottom of the East last year that were, you could definitely tell who the difference were, like in class wise. It was like the Nets as the six, and then it was like all those other teams, they were like in their own category, and then you had the top five.
Yeah.
It's starting to blend now a little bit where these is gonna be more competitive basketball in the East.
I don't even think outside of Milwaukee, I mean, you gotta take Brooklyn out of the equation this year because Kevin Durant's hurt, but you know, outside of Milwaukee and Philadelphia.
I don't think completely. Oh, you mean from the top?
Yeah. I think those are the two teams in the East. I don't think anybody else really stacks up against
them. They're in the league of their own, and then you got the remaining,
I think, Boston,
6 to 8 teams that are going to
Boston,
compete.
Indiana, Brooklyn, you know, those teams are going to be hovering right around between 3 and 6, like that area to me. But, you know, I think those top two teams are just way too dangerous.
Yeah, I agree.
After not really doing anything in the offseason, you're going to see Toronto might miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Toronto is officially done in the NBA, at least for the next 3 years, dude.
I mean, Siakam might really become an all-star, man.
No, he will. I wholeheartedly believe that he's a great, like, he's on the verge of becoming a great player. We saw him take big strides this year in the playoffs, like literally game by game. You just saw this guy get better and better and make adjustments. But tell me how crazy that is to come from such a high. You win the first franchise championship to literally, like, you might be playing yourself into a top five pick the next season.
It's happened to Cleveland twice.
They got a championship out of the deal too. So I mean, listen, man, I hope they enjoyed the champagne.
I think Toronto will be competing for a top five pick, you know, but who knows, they could squeak into the final.
I mean, they still got players. You still got Lowry, who, you know, he may have only been able, you know, he might be only good last year because of Kawhi Leonard and his presence, but they did lose Green as well. But you got Lowry, you got Siakam. You still have Gasol under contract, Ibaka. So
are they still going to sign Pau Gasol?
Oh, or I think he opted in.
He opted in.
Yeah. Okay. So, and not Pau. Mark.
Yeah. He definitely opted in.
No. I'm talking about Pau. There were reports that he was looking at Toronto.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, that'd be different.
I know he's 39, but
I mean, you know, he's over there for 15 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game max.
He's giving me some rebounds,
some inside game, and he can still shoot the ball a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, moving over to the West now, looking at what's going on. Got to start with the winners of the West, I guess. It's got to be the LA Clippers.
It's got to be the Clippers. Yeah. What about that deal?
So,
as a Nets fan, how do you feel about that?
No. Hate it. No, actually, well, first of all, I kind of like that I wanted Kawhi. Kawhi was my number one as far as the Nets go. I mean, I'll take the consolation prize of Kevin Durant. But seeing Kawhi either as a Net or out of the East was great. And then Paul, and then like I thought that was crazy. And then seeing later that Paul George is making his way over there too via trade. I just.
Do you think giving up all those draft picks was worth it?
Yeah.
In this situation, and as a Nets fan, it's gonna be hard for me to say. In this situation, yeah, because you're getting Kawhi and Paul George in their prime. You're not getting Paul, and for multiple years, you're not getting Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Jason Terry for 1 year at 36 plus.
Yeah.
So you know that was, or they, I mean, it was the contracts they were taking on. But the, Paul Pierce only gave the Nets 2 years. Then he was in Washington. Garnett gave them a year and a half, and
went to,
I don't even know Minnesota. What Terry did, to be honest with you.
He didn't even play for you guys that year. You guys cut him as soon as
at the second year too, I think.
Who? Jason Terry, Jet.
Oh yeah, yeah, the Jet. I mean,
all he did was talk crap to LeBron, get dunked on, and then thanks. You know, I mean, and then he did a stupid little Jet every time he hit a three in the corner. But
it's a signature and an iconic celebration. Yeah. Man. We cannot trash the Jet, man. Well, we can't trash
them. I can, because I had to watch him play at 36 years old on my team as a key cog. But anyway,
you guys want some breaking news?
Right, just now.
And breaking news.
We got breaking news on our first show.
Avery Bradley signs 2 years, $9.7 million deal with the Lakers.
That's
all right. That's a legit signing.
Yeah, no, it's a guy who can play defense. Piece.
Three and D guy, man.
Yeah, three and D,
and he's locked down on defense.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit in his short stint with the Clippers, but I feel like given that he signed with the Lakers, you know, that motivation, being around all those kind of guys.
He's back with Rondo.
Yeah.
That's a defensive backcourt, too. Now, not to mention you got Anthony Davis and LeBron. That's another defensive squad.
And DeMarcus Cousins.
And DeMarcus Cousins. That's a defensive squad.
It's new JaVale Orleans
McGee
Pelicans.
Too, man.
Yeah.
JaVale McGee, too. Last year was a career year. The dude averaged 12.
He's really 12 underrated,
and
7. Too.
Yeah, yeah. The Shaq didn't a fool thing.
It has, killed him.
Has destroyed him. Thank you, Shaq, the way from Newark, New Jersey. I see you.
But he's such a reliable role player, man. He really is. He'll give you 20 minutes. He'll give you 12 points, 7 rebounds, you know, something like that.
A couple blocks. And, again, he's a guy, listen, he's willing to get dunked on. Me, as a former big guy in rec league, like, I always played down low. And you have to be willing to go up to block a shot. I respect anyone who steps up and like, dude, listen, if you're going to get dunked on, just get dunked on.
Yeah, I agree with that. Don't shy away. Just get.
Yeah, yeah. Foul, man. Foul hard.
People are going to laugh at you for it. You know what? Just look them in the eye. You didn't do that.
Yeah.
You didn't try.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Damn. That's a big time move, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Lakers they're starting to fill out the rest of the roster, so we can't really give them a full thing until the roster's actually filled out. But the Clippers definitely won it. They were a playoff team last year in the West, which is hard enough to do without any superstars, and then you add two.
That's the best defensive team in the league. Between Paul George, Kawhi, you got Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah. And you got a head coach too who has been there, done that, Doc Rivers. So that's playing favor in their end.
Absolutely,
man. I'm sure that is the happiest man to show up to practice.
Oh God, yeah.
This year
he woke up that morning. He's like, oh, I got this team. Why is so much better than last year?
This guy, Doc Rivers. The rich get richer, man.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Shout out to Steve Ballmer, doing a great job out there.
I think Oklahoma City, they won the trade as well. This is one of the few times I really think both teams won, because they weren't going anywhere with Russ, PG, and Steven Adams.
Yeah, they'll really win if they can get rid of Westbrook and really restart. And because, I mean, a team's going to have to take it on, so they're not going to get the same sort of compensation for Westbrook that they did for George.
Yeah, I think they could still get three draft picks or so.
It's tough because another team's going to have to do a lot of things to fit Westbrook's contract into their system. That's the only issue. That's why I don't see so many first rounders coming their way. But I don't think anyone really won the trade. I just think both teams they made out well.
They
did as
best as they could.
Right, and I think the Thunder saw they saw their ceiling with George and Westbrook, and everybody absolutely. Was healthy last year, and that's
Paul
what
George,
it's be.
Paul George had two hurt shoulders at the end of the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, he did. But
and the whole team's on your shoulders like that.
Legitimately, actually.
Maybe hurting.
But,
no pun intended.
I've heard some whispers, or actually I should say I've read some rumors about the Celtics looking for Westbrook. I don't see why they would do that. They would more than likely trade
it'd have to
Hayward.
Be Gordon Hayward,
yeah,
right?
Hayward, I mean. And Marcus Smart to make the contracts work. And they will probably give up their own first-round pick next year, or two of them for
it
next
would,
year.
It wouldn't be the worst thing. I just don't know how
I don't
that
know why
would
you would
work
play
with Kemba. And
you would play them side by side. I don't know why you would do that either.
Unless Westbrook's willing to change it, or one of them's willing to change their game, it's just that. That's just no.
It doesn't work, dude. Like,
I don't know why teams try things like that. Like, it's clearly it hasn't worked with Chris Paul and James Harden. I don't know why you would try something similar.
Yeah.
I've also heard Houston's looking at Westbrook too. That would be different.
That would
end up
be
moving Chris Paul.
Paul would have to go.
Yeah.
And it looks like, I mean, we saw all offseason that these two apparently haven't been getting along.
Yeah.
They're shooting State Farm commercials together, but they apparently can't get along on the court.
Not according to Chris Paul. There, once that report came up, I saw on the great social media platform Instagram that he said he doesn't know where that report came from. It came from him.
I know. It came directly from him.
There's just too much now. It'd be one thing if it was one incident, but they're not getting along. You're hearing that like in the postseason. You're hearing that just at the beginning of the offseason. Then you're hearing that there were fights going on with them. They weren't even talking to each other.
Yeah.
And then you see there's videos of them. Like, I mean, I know it's a heat of the game, but you're seeing videos of them actually
fighting,
losing their minds on each other. I think they were saying that one of them was requesting a trade. I'm guessing Paul, because Harden's the face. So,
I heard they both gave the Rockets an ultimatum.
I don't think that report comes out of nowhere. I think, at least it might not have been like official or like those exact words, but someone part of that organization knows that and brought that out.
For sure. Where there's smoke, there's fire, man. Right. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter how they try to flip that situation, but it's clear that they don't work well together. And to be honest, I feel like Harden falls under that same Westbrook category where it's like, dude, you cannot play with anyone else who needs the ball.
Yeah.
And what kind of basketball is that?
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah, like, look at what Harden did. Great, you scored 30 points for 2 months or a month in a row.
Yeah.
But even Kobe came out and said, you're not going to win games playing like this.
Absolutely not.
Look at what happened in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and Chris Paul, he's a guy that's used to having the ball in his hands, but he could play off ball. He just wanted to distribute. He had no problem. He doesn't care about his shots. I mean, obviously he does, but he wants to give other guys a chance. You know, that's
his game. That's what makes his game well-rounded. Special. Yeah, it's that. When he's not shoot first and he's just make the right play first, that's where he's at his best.
Yeah.
I think a move that really went under the radar here was Hassan Whiteside heading over to Portland.
I don't think that was a good move at all.
Really?
I really don't. Hassan Whiteside hasn't done anything the last 2 years in Miami. You know, and I know he lost a lot of his minutes, but you know, he got his big contract and then he completely stop caring.
I mean, does 15-9 not count for anything?
I mean, not for that contract. Not for that contract.
I feel like if he would have gotten the minutes, you would have seen the 20-11 or the 20-12 that he was averaging the year that he led the league in blocks as well.
I mean, that's very true. But again, as soon as he signed that contract, he just got a bad attitude. He was a problem in Miami. Like, they really hated him.
In Miami, though, who was he playing with?
Dwayne Wade, Goran Dragic.
No. Say Dwayne Wade. D-Wade. When you say Dwayne Wade, I'm thinking 2007 Dwayne Wade, where he's leading them past the.
Dwayne Wade this season was pretty good.
He was averaging 14 points a game. I'm not gonna kill the guy.
He was pretty good. You know, he's a good role player.
Listen.
Okay, all right, a good role player. But who else was he playing with? Who's above a role player?
Justice Winslow.
Exactly.
Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, exactly. So he's gonna have the opportunity to play with a guy like Lillard and a guy like CJ McCollum. He's gonna have a team who in the West has been able to make the playoffs every year the first year that the Blazers really went off was when they had Aldridge and they looked like a team that could possibly take over the West, and then Aldridge leaves. This guy could be their Aldridge.
Whiteside can't shoot like Aldridge.
No, he's got his own game.
But what about when they get Nurkic back?
Yeah, but Nurkic and Whiteside are both immobile big guys. You know, you want two immobile guys
agree.
In the court at the same time.
Nurkic can move. Like, Nurkic can move. He's a five. He is a five.
He's a five. He's a little slow, though.
But, I mean, with that said, him being a little slow, how many faster fives are there than him? You can literally point to maybe four guys in the league. You still have other opponents that you got to play against. So if your center is a top six center, he's still better than most of the NBA.
All right.
That, at least that's how I feel.
I just don't think he's going to make that great of an impact. I don't think
Portland, they're like a fourth seed anyway.
Yeah. I mean, they're a team that can be really dangerous because, like you said earlier, Dame and McCollum are two guys that can drop 40 and, you know, in a blink of an eye.
At any time, yeah.
But, you know, outside of those two, I mean, Nurkic is good. But outside of that, I don't see anyone being a huge threat. Who's your next scoring guy?
They brought back Hood.
Yeah,
Rodney Hood had
as far as a role player goes
a redeeming season last year.
Yeah, and I believe Evan Turner's still there, right? He didn't go anywhere. I think
Evan Turner's an underrated role player.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. They have solid role players. But that was my whole point with the Heat. Comparing the two is that you would say guys like Turner and Hood would have been like starters on
other teams.
On the Heat. You know, yeah. And that's where Whiteside was playing. The Heat were expecting Whiteside to be this superstar. Now he's going to go to Portland where he's the third option. At best, he's the third option scoring. So, and if he can just bring back that defense, I mean, that's something that might go a long way. And you got to think there's no more Durant in this Western Conference. So,
outside of the Clippers and the Lakers, the West is wide open now. I mean, I really think that Clippers trade really just damn well destroyed the league again.
But. I think a team two is the Utah Jazz. I think is a real good team. They took away my boy Ed Davis. I loved Ed Davis coming off the bench for the Nets. Yeah. They bring in Bogdanovich and Jeff Green.
Is a good pickup.
You know, and Moutier.
They have Korver as well.
And we forget Mike Conley, man.
Yeah.
And Mike Conley.
Conley Jr. It's such a big move that's kind of like been swept under the rug just because of the Kawhi.
He's been swept under the rug. His whole career, he's been swept under the rug, man.
Yeah, he said nothing to play with over there in Memphis. So and now he's getting an opportunity.
With Gasol and Randolph, but that was it.
Yeah.
They had some solid seasons over there, man, with Tony Allen and all those guys. They were like junkyard dogs over there, man.
Yeah, that one year they beat the Spurs. The Spurs were number one seed. I couldn't believe that. But, Utah is another team. They didn't pick up any stars, but they just filled out the roster with a lot of really good role players. That team is another one where I could see them being a top four seed and just a really, really tough out for maybe the Clippers or, you know, the Lakers. Same thing with Denver. I think Denver got a little bit better just for their depth in that aspect.
Yeah.
And they extended Murray early, which is... shows what they feel about Murray, and he's probably going to take another step next year as well.
They're another squad that's in the sweepstakes for Westbrook. They're really trying to
really?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and then they were talking about trading Millsap and Murray for Steven Adams and Westbrook along with draft picks and stuff.
That's blockbuster there.
I don't know if I'm Denver, I don't know if I can just trade away Murray. One, you just signed him to an extension, but two, I think he's going to be a really good player who's like finally getting his feet under him and establishing himself as a premier, you know, maybe not a premier player, but definitely one of the rising stars in the NBA.
I think he's at his ceiling, I think he could be low all-star level.
Oh, for sure.
Right around there.
Amazing we talk this much about the West now and everything, and we didn't even bring up Golden State Warriors.
Oh, God, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I think that was an amazing pickup with D'Angelo Russell. My friends think that I'm crazy, but I think him at the point and then sending Steph back to his natural shooting guard position is going to be crazy.
I really
think Steph is just going to just run around the court nonstop banging threes.
Maybe a hot take here, but I think that move and with all the other moves with Andre gone and Thompson going to be missing for the year and OKD, there's going to be zero defense played. And I see the Warriors possibly missing the playoffs.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah. Talk about hot take.
I mean, outside of Green, who's locking anybody up? I love D'Lo, and I did not originally want Kyrie. The only reason why I wanted Kyrie was because it might mean KD.
Yeah.
So if Kyrie was our only signing and then we got other players, I would have been livid the fact that we let D'Lo go. But I've seen Russell play. Very, very good. He's going to get better. Dude does not play defense.
No.
Steph Curry does not play defense.
Yeah, but does most of the league play defense?
No, but like they exceptionally don't play defense.
I know Steph Curry's like bottom 5%
They're going to be backcourts. If you're a good backcourt defender, you're going to be licking your chops playing this team. I mean, you're going to like obviously these guys are going to drop points on you, but if you can live with that, you're going to have a career day. Who the hell is going to stop you? And if you got two guys driving in the paint that way, Green can't cover everybody. He can't bail anybody out. They brought in Willie Cauley-Stein, who will help underneath, but you still have no perimeter defense. You lost Iguodala, and you lost Thompson. Yeah. And
they should get Thompson back around February, though.
They also lost.
We got to wrap up.
They also lost. They also lost Quinn Cook.
Yeah, that
went over to the Lakers.
That was a huge loss. Absolutely. I mean, I agree with you. They're definitely not going to be a good defensive team. But we've seen teams that can only score and go deep in the playoffs. You know. Right.
Yeah, we'll definitely catch up on the Warriors on next week's episode. We'll just have to stay tuned, man. We still got a couple days. We still got a couple big names left that have to be moved off the board, and we'll see where the NBA, where the NBA goes from here, man. Yeah. I'm excited.
Next week we'll get more into the Warriors, and we can get into where we think where are the best spots for Westbrook and what makes the most sense.
Yeah. If he hasn't been moved by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know.
Sounds good.
You never know with the NBA. 1 o'clock in the morning seems to be the time. Everything happens then.
Can't go to sleep, man.
Yeah.
All right, and that's going to do it for our first episode. We tune in next week. You'll be able to follow our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, all the special places to find podcasts. I'm Alex Marinoni.
I'm Tomas Reyes.
And I'm Greg Milhun.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Signing off.